Blog Talk Radio.
Special technique. Special technique of shadow boxing.
Okay. What's going on? We are back here live after 2 weeks of not having the show on. We are here, the Boxing Source Radio Show on the MRM broadcast and channel on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, James Bell, lead boxing analyst for the Cold Hard Truth on Sports. Be sure to catch articles in the sport of boxing on thechtonsports.com. That is thechtonsports.com. Number to dial in to talk boxing live here is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. We'll have a good number of content for you here in this 1 hour live show. But before we get into all of that, we will go into a couple of commercials and then get into the talk. You are listening to the Boxing Source Radio Show here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel live on Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, all, this is Matthew Long with the Cold Hard Truth on Sports and the Triangle Offense. I just wanted to take some time to tell you about Pest Bear, a wonderful company. They've been around for 20-plus years. They have over 11 branches in Florida, great licensed, certified specialists, and guess what? They do more than pest control. They also take care of termites as well as lawn care, sprinkler systems, and much, much more. Call today, 1-800-PESTBEAR. That's 1-800-737-8232.
WCSB Sports and MRN Broadcasting, powered by blogtalkradio.com.
Football talk like you've never heard it before. Possibly one of the funniest podcasts in sports today. That's right, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night at 8:30 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. We have Cali Mike, Chi-Town, Carcel Mathis, and the Mouth of the South, Tony Watley. They give you a different perspective of football that may not be found anywhere else. You may also catch other callers with some classic lines as well.
There's a blackout level.
What is it?
I don't know exactly what it is
off the top
of my head.
Okay, I know you're in front of your computer right now. Look it up.
I'm about to look it up right now, all right?
National blackout level.
I never said national blackout level, liar.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't.
Okay, Florida blackout level. Whatever blackout level you want to look up, look it up.
You can't compare a fifth-year quarterback to a 20-year quarterback. How do you compare Cam Newton to Peyton Manning? That's impossible.
I don't even think Cam Newton's going to get a contract extension.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers are the worst franchise in the National Football League. The worst franchise in the National Football League.
The difference between Jameis Winston, Matt Ryan, and Cam Newton is Jameis Winston has the ability to lead a team to a championship.
Once again, people, the CMT Firestorm Football Talk Show every Wednesday night on the MRN Broadcast Network. Better than diamond ring. That's why we're
here to sing football. Jameis Winston is just stupid.
Yeah.
All right, we are back here live on the Boxing the Source radio show. Number to dial in is 347-237-5539. Once again, 347-237-5539. Press the 1 key to get on queue. You'll be able to talk live on the show. Like I was saying here at the opening, pretty much been on hiatus for the past couple of weeks. You could say I had a couple of vacation weekends going to Florida, two weekends in a row for a couple of big events down there. And, you know, it was two pretty good weekends, I would say. But you know, I'm back here full-time here, and pretty much we're deep into the month of October. And overall, I mean, I would kind of say that, you know, the month of October has basically been kind of, you know, anticlimactic in the sport of boxing. You really haven't had that many big events going on. Of course, we tried to have a couple of, you know, things that happened here in the month of October, but kind of fell through, headlined by the rematch that was supposed to happen between Tyson Fury and Vladimir Klitschko. And we all know the story with Tyson Fury bowing out of this fight, basically being caught with a substance related to cocaine. So that fight has basically been shut down. And so that leaves a basic void in the heavyweight division. And so right now we're just trying to look forward to the month of November. We have, you know, a few things going on in the month of November. Yes, we still do have one more weekend left in the month of October, but once we get through that, it'll pick back up starting on November 5th as you know, we have the Thomas and Mack Center between Manny Pacquiao and Jesse Vargas for the WBO welterweight championship. And you also have Nonito Donaire fighting Jesse Magdaleno for the WBO super bantamweight title. And looking at this overall card by Top Rank, it's basically the WBO show, as you also have the WBO featherweight championship and the flyweight championship on the line in this particular card. So, I mean, over the past, you know, years and years plus, about the WBO basically being the top rank organization, as they're, as a lot of their guys have held the titles. Like I was saying, Jesse Vargas, you have Terrence Crawford, you know, you have Nonito Donaire, among others within their boxing organization that have held the WBO title. We're just seeing here, as this is basically the fight in the first weekend of November, and then going into the second week of November, we'll, you know, pick up things a little bit more. I think we have, yeah, we have there on November 12th, we have basically an exhibition match. November 12th on PBC on Spike TV, yes. Al Heyman has pretty much put Premier Boxing Champions, you know, pretty much on the back, not necessarily on the feature channels, you know, NBC, CBS, and the like, over the weekend because of college football dominating Saturday nights. So what they're doing here is they're putting in this card, basically a hometown card for Danny Garcia, as he will face Samuel Vargas on November 12th in that evening. So you'll be seeing that as a main event. Jared Hurd will face Jorge Cota in a middleweight fight also. But in competition to that or opposite of that, HBO will have a card in Monte Carlo, and that will be headlined by Luis King Kong Ortiz versus Malik Scott in a 12-round bout. You also have Jimmy McDonald facing Laborio Solis for McDonald's regular bantamweight championship in the WBA, and Jason Sosa faces Stephen Smith. And also on that HBO card will be Arthur Abraham versus Martin Murray. So they actually have a pretty good card there on November 12th that will be happening. Of course, Luis Ortiz's last fight was here in the D.C. area, going up against Tony the Tiger Thompson, and he basically blew him out there. So he's getting this other fight here with Malik Scott after his little back-and-forth tussle with Golden Boy Promotions. So we're going to be keeping our eyes on that. Real quick, we have a phone call here. Area code 205, what's going on with you?
What's going on, James? It's Mike Grady, man. How you doing?
Hey there, Mike. How you been doing, man?
Pretty good, pretty good. Can't complain.
Yeah, man, just getting back, trying to get back on my feet or whatever it is. Past couple of weeks have been, you know, lots of travel, you know, back and forth from here to Florida. And, you know, this past week I've been basically trying to catch up on sleep. Thank goodness I ain't have no, you know, full work days. Otherwise, I would have been really out of it. But, yeah, we're back here full time. Here on the Boxing Source Radio Show, and I was just going over what's going on upcoming here in the first couple of weeks of November, as the month of October really hasn't had anything as far as big fights are concerned. They did have a couple of cards yesterday. One was in England, but nothing that, you know, a lot of people would be, you know, paying much attention to, other than maybe the fight with Sam Eggington winning. But otherwise, I, you know, went through the card that's on November 5th that will feature Manny Pacquiao going up against Jesse Vargas, and Nonito Donaire will also be on that card. And then November 12th, they'll have Luis Ortiz going up against Malik Scott. So any thoughts about, you know, those main event fights there on November 5th and November 12th?
Yeah, so definitely Manny Pacquiao should have a pretty easy time. Well, I'll say this. You know, Manny Pacquiao has a certain skill level, and I would imagine that, you know, since he's doing his senatorial duties, that he probably isn't spending that much time practicing. So it just depends on how his win is, and, you know, can he just come from the sidelines and still be that dominant force? But for the most part, the old Manny Pacquiao, even, you know, the diminished old Pacquiao, should have a pretty easy time beating Jesse Vargas. And as long as he pretty much fights him how he fought Brandon Rios, it should be a fairly easy fight for him. But
the only thing that, you know, has me interested in that particular fight is how Jesse Vargas comes out. I mean, the last time, you know, I saw him live was there in March, where he won the WBO title. And basically what that one was all about was he fought Saddam Ali. Ali was, you know, an undefeated fighter. He had, like, a lot of skills there. But, I mean, he was coming up from the 140-pound division, you know, not that recently. I know that, you know, Vargas was also at super lightweight at one time, but, I mean, he had multiple titles at super lightweight, you know, back in 2014 before he moved up to fight Timothy Bradley Jr. Last year. But by fighting Saddam Ali, I mean, Ali was, you know, kind of getting his things in for those first few rounds, but once Vargas was able to take what Ali had in those first three rounds and saw that he couldn't be fazed by Ali, that's when he basically blew him out. And so now he's facing somebody in Pacquiao that been there at 147 pounds and won titles at 154. So what's he going to do when he's going to be taking these left hands by Pacquiao if he does? Has he fully grown into that 147-pound weight class and with his, you know, lengthy frame if he's, you know, able to, you know, take those punches by Manny Pacquiao, or is he going to be frustrated to where he's going to be, you know, overwhelmed by Pacquiao's attack patterns?
Yeah, I definitely think it'll be the latter, because if Tim Bradley, for the most part, controlled him with the speed, you already know what Pacquiao's going to do. Even if Pacquiao stay in the pocket way too long, I don't see Jesse Vargas really hindering Pacquiao, you know, like giving him anything to really think about. Unless Pacquiao don't have no win and he gets tired past like round six or seven or so. You know, like that's the only scenario I can see Manny Pacquiao ever being in trouble, or, you know, you'll like think like this may be a good fight. It's just that if his win is not good due to his lack of preparation. But yeah, speed should kill, and it should just be an easy fight. Like it was for Tim Bradley, so.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's my thing. It's just a unknown as to what, you know, Pacquiao is going to step out there. Because, I mean, with Vargas, I mean, Vargas' last fight was back in March. But Pacquiao, you know, he was able to be out there at April fighting Timothy Bradley Jr. So, and then, like you said, he's, you know, had his senatorial duties there in the Philippines. I mean, I don't know how much that has taken, you know, has him being taken off of his, you know, boxing regimen. But it seemed like he was able to be, you know, training in and out of there in the gym and things like that. There have been some reports out there that have said that, you know, he's kind of like been a little bit tired in some cases, but he's been able to try to get back in the full gear here. We got another caller in here, area code 813. What's going on with you?
What up, though, Jay? Everybody, whoever's on the line, this is Terrell Hall from Tampa. What's going on?
Hey there, brother Terrell, man. Good seeing you last week.
Yeah, definitely, man.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're getting into this upcoming fight schedule here in the month of November. We went through the first set of major events that are happening. You got the pay-per-view card there with Manny Pacquiao against Jesse Vargas on November 5th. And then November 12th, you'll have the, you know, the PBC on Spike headlined by Danny Garcia against Samuel Vargas. And then on HBO, we'll have a fairly good card headlined by Luis Ortiz against Malik Scott. So we pretty much are going over Pacquiao Vargas. So real quick, what's your thoughts about that fight upcoming here on November 5th?
Yeah, really? I love boxing, my number one sport. But for the Vargas-Pacquiao fight, really little to no interest, truthfully, you know. I don't know if it's just become Pacquiao has been out of the game for a while with the supposed injury and stuff like that. I don't know. It's kind of like when you know a fighter's getting ready to go out, like Hopkins, for example. Bernard Hopkins has been out for a long time. I think last year when he fought the Colby or whatever.
It's been longer than that, man. It's November 2014.
Yeah. But kudos to him. He's still relevant as a name in boxing because of accomplishments and plus the fact that he's still in boxing with Golden Boy and everything. And basically what I'm saying, he has his last fight. He said this is going to be his last fight. Cool. I'm looking forward to that, you know. I'm looking forward to that. But the Pacquiao thing, it's just, I just get a different vibe with this, you know. And, I mean, mainly with, like Pacquiao, he should have fought other people in the past. And now we've been, in a sense, force-fed this Vargas fight. And nothing against Vargas. You know, he's doing what he has to do, you know. But Pacquiao has had a chance to fight other people, other better people, boxers and stuff like that, but position himself out of those fights and things like that. And now here we arrive at this one. And like I said, really, I really don't have no interest in it, really. I mean, I'll watch it, observe it, and things like that. And really, this I don't care who wins. I really don't. I mean, if I was to lean towards one side, I would hopefully that Vargas can secure a win and kind of, in a sense, close that door on Pacquiao, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, because the guy said that he wants to be serious about politics and serving his country, then go do that. I mean, I'm not mad at Pacquiao, but just no need to hang around. Don't tease the people. You've done more than enough to secure your legacy. So, really, like I said, I have almost no interest in this fight. So, but I hope that Vargas gets a win, and like I said, closes that door on Pacquiao. That's what I would like to see.
Yeah. So, do you actually think Vargas could actually beat Pacquiao? Even though you hope that it kind of like diminishes Pacquiao's claim or giving us the whack fight, do you actually think that could happen?
Do I have great confidence? No, I don't. But at the same time, fighters do get older. A lot of fighters can't get older in one fight. And we don't know what Pacquiao we're going to see. I mean, I've seen reports of great sparring and stuff like that. He got great adulation when he arrived in L.A. here recently to help keep preparing for the fight and stuff like that. But a lot of times a fighter can get old in one fight. So can Vargas beat him? It's possible. I mean, if I was to bet on it, I would almost say this is a 50-50 fight for those various reasons. And like I said, Vargas is not a great fighter. He's hungry, though, you know, so I would definitely say this is a 50-50 fight for me.
Yeah, the only way I can see Vargas winning, it'd have to be a lot of things going in his favor. Let's say Pacquiao don't have great win. Let's say he loafs during the preparation for the fight. And or his motivation on par, the same level as it was when he first fought Timothy Bradley, you know, many years ago. Because you could kind of tell he wasn't into the fight versus how he was into the third fight or even, you know, even into the second fight. Even though the second fight was competitive until like round six, he was just in it a lot more, and he definitely was in the third fight, you know. He wanted to win that, but if his motivation's not there, then that'll open the door for Vargas as well. But if everything is how it should be with Pacquiao, I think it'll be a whitewash. You know, Pacquiao probably, he's not going to knock him out, but it should be an easy-ish fight, similar to how Timothy Bradley kind of had an easy time with him. You know, I figure speed will kill. And as long as he don't get tired, it'll keep killing.
Yeah, true. And going back to Terrell's point about, you know, the overall thing here for Manny Pacquiao is just that, you know, we're trying to, like, basically, a lot of people are trying to move on from Manny Pacquiao as far as, like, his career is concerned. I mean, his defining fight was against Floyd Mayweather, and he basically, you know, got blown out by Mayweather. Or he lost convincingly to Mayweather, and the way that he handled that after the fight kind of, you know, took down his overall, you know, public view of him. And so now it's basically just him fighting for money, especially, you know, hearing a few news segments or news topics that have come out over the past 4 to 6 months in reference to his money issues or concerns. So, you know, now it's just basically him, you know, just trying to get some money. I mean, there's no other fights out there that would be intriguing for Manny Pacquiao to be in. There has been talk about him fighting Canelo Alvarez, but it's like, what's the point of doing that right now?
I mean, that
so,
would make him money, though. That would make him more money than any other fight outside of Adrian Broner. Those two fights would get him money.
Yeah, it would. But, I mean, the thing on the one side is that you're not going to have, you know, him fighting Adrian Broner because of the whole thing with, you know, Bob Arum and Al Heyman. There's, you know, there's still, you know, not necessarily completely in good graces right now. So you don't really necessarily see that fight happening. And so now you'll have this scene with Pacquiao and Canelo Alvarez, which I wouldn't be necessarily surprised if that happens next year. So, well, I mean, we'll see what's going to, you know, end up happening here with, between Manny Pacquiao here and Jesse Vargas. But in Vargas's case, I'd rather see him win just to see, you know, if he'll, you know, get bigger and better fights in the future, or if we see something upcoming between Jesse Vargas and Terrence Crawford, because Terrence Crawford is, you know, still out there looking for that big fight. He is supposed to have something here coming up, but I'm not sure if that's official yet. I think it's supposed to be against DeMarco, but they do have a card slated for Crawford on December 10th, but that's not necessarily set in stone as of yet.
Real quick here, going up. What's the name of the guy that's the number one contender for Crawford's belt? He's definitely making a little bit of fuss up and trying to get in position to secure a fight with Crawford, hopefully for this year. I forgot the guy's name. He's, I know he's a Spanish guy, but he's the number one contender for Crawford's belt.
Let me see if I could, because he may possibly be the guy that he's fighting on the 10th, but I don't think so, because the number one guy for the WBO title is Jason Pagar, and that's not the guy that they're talking about Terrence Crawford fighting. I think they're talking about him fighting Antonio Orozco, who's the number one guy. Oh, you're talking about in the WBC. Yeah, it may be him, because Orozco is the number one guy in the WBC, but he's number eight in the WBO. So it may be that he'll end up fighting Orozco on that December 10th card there with Crawford defending the WBC and WBO light welterweight championships. So, yeah, you'd be on the lookout for that and see if that happens there. Real quick, number to dial in is 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Press one key to get on queue, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. Other fights that are upcoming here is the November 19th card that's on HBO pay-per-view, headlined by the light heavyweight championship fight between Sergey Kovalev and Andre Ward. We're still been, you know, out here waiting for this fight to happen. We're just like about 4 weeks away for it to actually go down. It's a big fight in many instances, not just to, you know, prove, you know, for Andre Ward that he is the best pound-for-pound fighter in the sport of boxing right now, but also with, you know, him being a guy that is under Rock Nation Sports and having this three-fight contract there with HBO, this is the last fight that's under that HBO contract. So it'll be very interesting to see what happens if Andre Ward wins and if he's able to extend that HBO contract, because a lot of people within the sport of boxing are not in favor of HBO Sports and how they treated certain fighters in the sport. And Andre Ward is one of those guys. You've seen Angel Garcia speak about this multiple times over the past couple of years in reference to how they treated his guy, Danny Garcia, and, you know, other fighters that have been on HBO and with Andre Ward. And so it's going to be something to watch here to see how, you know, this fight goes and how the fight is going to be commentated, as it's going to be on HBO pay-per-view. So Just starting with Terrell, what's your thoughts here coming up towards this fight and how Kovalev can approach the fight or how Ward can approach this fight?
Well, I'm trying to think of the fight, that a big fight we had earlier this year. I forgot who it exactly was, but my statement, my initial statement for this fight is the same. I hope and pray that nothing happens to either fighter and trainer. There's promotional issues that that will rise up to the moment for us to secure, sit down, and watch this fight. We need this fight. We need this fight for so many reasons, to define potentially the one pound fight in this division, but the world, you know. We need this fight bad, like I said, for war side. I mean, for our head of great fight, we need the tournament a few years back and stuff like that. War Kovalev has been on a mission knocking everybody out with power in both hands. So, you know, you got your classic boxer versus puncher matchup in this one. I mean, this is as classic as it gets, you know. I mean, that is so storyline. So, like I said, hope that nothing comes up and interferes with it so we can actually sit down and simply watch the fight. Like I said, just, I mean, a lot of people are pulling forward. You got people like, that you can know that privately HBO is definitely pulling for Kovalev. And I certainly hope that Ward can come in, buck those odds, and get a win. You know what? I tell you, it don't have to be a dominant win, although I think that it would be a real boxing lesson with Ward's ability to box, shoot from different angles, see the punches coming, cover up, smother up when necessary, things like that, and be a smart, efficient boxer. And to that point, I think that's going to be his blueprint for the fight. But there's definitely, I mean, it's going back a long time. HBO definitely picks and chooses who they get behind. So there's nothing new. There's nothing new. And at this point now, HBO, their chickens are coming to roost. And that's why they're on the pound right now. You know, it's a shame, but it is what it is. That's karma.
Yep. And a lot of the people that have, you know, had fights within HBO and HBO have, you know, basically all left. You had, like you're saying, Al Heyman there with the being the advisor, leaving and then setting things up for him with his Premier Boxing Champions, and then having some of the fighters fight on Showtime. And now, you know, they're going to be dealing with Richard Schaefer, who's, you know, basically getting back in the game now. And so when you don't really have that much left out there, you know, all you have is your people there working with K2 Promotions. You have Golden Boy still there with them. And you have, you know, Top Rank that's kind of on a sketchy relationship with them now because of them not being able to pick up the Manny Pacquiao Jesse Vargas fight. So it's basically what they're going to be doing here now is just banking on what Kovalev and Golovkin are going to do. And, of course, the thing here with Tyson Fury doesn't help them out at all. So now Vladimir Klitschko is not on their schedule for him this year. So they have a few things that they got to, you know, deal with as far as what's going on at the end of this year and going into 2017, as we'll have a little bit more news on a couple of HBO fighters either at the end of the live show or in overtime. Mike Brady, what you got to say on it?
So as far as them not, you know, treating Ward like he's the million-dollar baby, I think that's a mute point because he's not going to go anywhere. You know, he has his job with them where he you know, does the announcing and stuff. So either way it goes, he's still going to be with them, you know. So past his fight, I think he's going to re-sign because it just, you know, his business ties are with them. So that just probably makes sense for him in his career, even though they probably aren't, like, pushing him like they push a Golovkin or somebody like that, or Gonzalez. As far as the fight goes, I think it will be a win by Ward. I think that Ward will fight on the inside, and he'll pretty much frustrate Kovalev. And I think Ward's strength will be surprisingly, you know, it'll be surprising to Kovalev, and he'll pretty much fight the fight from the inside, and it'll probably be an ugly fight, but he'll get off the cleaner, harder blows and discourage him, as Terrell said, pretty much discourage him and give him a boxing lesson. It'll be like how Terrence Crawford did the other guy, but it'll be more just on the inside versus fighting on the outside.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt on that. Yeah, my other thoughts on this upcoming fight is that, you know, they're kind of building this up to be, you know, an America versus Russia type of thing, even though not many people are really backing Andre Ward on this. You have a lot of people in these boxing boards and boxing channels building Sergey Kovalev up as this Ivan Drago type character. And, like, he's going up there against Apollo Creed. And the thing is, like, Ward is, you know, a very skilled fighter there. And he's not somebody that will, number one, will really back down to somebody like, Kovalev, one. And he'll be, you know, too skilled to really get caught in the traps that Sergey Kovalev may set. So, you know, with that being said, I think that he's going to come out as the victor. However, I kind of think about what Ward has said back in 2014 or so, or when he was, you know, dealing with the whole thing with the promotional fiasco that he was going through with Goosen to the promotions, and that, you know, back then they were saying they knew that he was, you know, basically going to be, quote-unquote, forced to move up to light heavyweight and then end up fighting Kovalev at light heavyweight. And then he says, like, after he beats him, then what? Because if you think about it, yeah, he may be able to stay on HBO, but, you know, after he beats Kovalev, then, you know, what else is out there in the light heavyweight division that he could do on HBO? I mean, a lot of these other notable fighters in that light heavyweight division, when you talk about the Donna Stevenson, when you talk about Archer Beterbiev, when you talk about, who is it? There was the other guy from Foreign, like, they're all on and Showtime, you know? Unless it's, you know, they fight guys like Jürgen Brummer or who is it, like Skoglund, or, you know, some of these other guys, it's not something where, you know, he'll be able to do that much within the next year after defeating Kovalev, if he defeats Kovalev. So it's like, what else, you know, is out there? I mean, this is a guy, Ward, that basically proved how good he was, and, you know, beating all those guys there at super middleweight. All those big guys at super middleweight he beat. And so now it's almost like he's looking to, you know, get the respect and money and fight. If he doesn't have that much of a challenge there at super middle, I mean, at light heavyweight, what else is he going to do? He's not going to move back down to super middleweight, because he basically, you know, bulked up to light heavyweight. I mean, yeah, there's a few other notable guys there at super middleweight, but will he be able to fight them too? You know, the guys like Chunky DeGale and, you know, Badu Jack and all of those, will he be able to fight them? I'm not sure if he'll be able to do that. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens after the fight if Ward wins. If he's going to be able to either stay there light heavyweight or not. I haven't seen if there's like a rematch clause in this particular fight. So if there is, then they may have another fight there in the works coming in for 2017. So that'll be something that, you know, be on the lookout for. We got under 20 minutes left in the last segment of the show. If you want to dial in to talk boxing, call in at 347-237-5539. That is 347-237-5539. Q, and you'll be able to talk live on the show. And before we, like, get into other upcoming fights, like Lomachenko Walters, and I think there's supposed to be something up coming up here on December 3rd, but they also have a few things on December 10th. Is there, like, anything that either one of y'all want to talk about, like if it's Adrian Broner or this whole little thing with Gennady Golovkin going back and forth or something like that? Anything y'all want to mention?
Just one thing on Ward that I would want to say. I don't think Ward will really, really get respect and money until he is of the weight and he moves up to, like, heavyweight or something.
So you think he might have to go the Roy Jones route?
Definitely, definitely. And until then, to where he has to fight these, you know, extremely large men where he should be the underdog, I don't think he'll really get the money and respect that he deserves until that happens.
Yeah, I think it's a whole different era now than when Roy Jones was fighting. You know,
definitely.
Roy Jones had a John Ruiz he could fight. There isn't a John Ruiz type of, you know, fighter out there that's holding the title right now for Andre Ward to go out there and challenge. You know, I mean, there's been hints that, you know, they're trying to see if he can go all the way up to heavyweight, but I don't think that there's anyone out there that he could challenge to try to get the belt from. Anything for you, Terrell?
Yeah, one thing, if you could just give us a brief overview on the business model of the PBC with Al Heyman spearheading that effort. And the reason why I posed that question, I read an article last week that basically suggested that the PBC may be on its way out because of that funding that he got from that investor group or whatever, the hedge fund, is kind of drying up. And a lot of people were trying to get some answers from Heyman, who, of course, does not give interviews or talk to the media. And another point they made from that is because some of the PBC fights are just on too many smaller networks, like your Truth Network and stuff like that and everything. But at the same time, they made a positive point where they basically said that a lot of people are benefiting from boxing being on free TV, right? The CBS fights and stuff like that, NBC fights and so on. But at the same time, they say they may be in trouble, like I said, because that funding may have not been used correctly and everything. Like I said, part of that may be the fact that it's on just too many obscure networks and everything. Like I said, I thought that was interesting, but at the same time, the main reason for the article, I still need to go and watch it. I haven't watched it. What's Jim Lampley's show on HBO that he does, like once a month or something like that? He basically blasted Heyman and PBC for messing up boxing. I need to go and watch that.
Yeah, I haven't really, you know, I haven't really watched that thing there with Jim Lampley because of, you know, my feelings toward Jim Lampley and how contradictory that guy could be. But, you know, he's basically, you know, blasting out Heyman and the Premier Boxing Champions model. But, I mean, if you think about what they're doing from a business standpoint, they're looking at the overall landscape of what's happening within the sports world and, you know, reacting to that. One of the things that, you know, people or some fans don't realize and a lot of haters want basically overlook is that you're not going to have, you know, the type of fight that the Thurman versus Porter fight. You're going to have those type of fights by June. You'll have them in April. You'll have them in May. You'll have them in June and July. But once But once football season starts up and off, and once the, you know, the MLB then gets into the playoffs, and then, the, you know, now coming up here this week, the NBA and NHL are going to be start their seasons. You're not going to have boxing matches going on Saturday nights on primetime TV on these networks. I mean, for example, I mean, you're going to – why would you have a fight like a like, for example, we would have had, let's see, Danny Garcia against Andre Berto. I mean, they were talking about having that fight at the Barclays. That was going to be in September, right? But on Saturday, I mean, college football is jumping off. You had a lot of these big matchups in these first few weeks. So you're going to be going one-on-one against an ABC primetime college football matchup. And you really don't have that happening there. So why put up a lot of money to have a fight happening on a network television show and trying to get these sponsors and these companies to invest and put commercials onto your program when you have college football going on? You not only have that primetime thing going on at ABC, but you also have different college football matchups on ESPN, ESPN2, Fox Sports 1, Fox, all of that. So with all of that going on, you're not going to have all of that money put into something that's going to be on NBC or CBS. That's basically going to lose a lot of money and then have you drop your relationship with these sponsorships. That's not a smart business. So right now, you know, they're putting that basically on the back burner, or just saying, let's not spend that much money on these cards and put them on Spike TV or put them on Barrels TV or put them on Fox Sports 1, where you don't necessarily need to put that much money into it, and you get, you know, a little bit more, you get what you can get out of it. So either you're going to get a little bit of profit or you're going to get a little bit of a loss, right? Because you would rather have a little bit of either than have a lot of a loss. Because that's the only thing that would basically happen is if you put a boxing card on a network, you know, on a, you know, a basic broadcast network on a Saturday night in the fall. You just can't do that.
Right, and like I said, one point that Darko did make that was positive was the fact that, you know, even though a lot of these fights are on some of these obscure networks, they're fights, and people are getting opportunities for exposure and getting opportunities just to be seen. And the thing about it, looking back at the Showbox series when that first started years ago, I can't think of the most notable names that came out of there, but there were some notable people that came from that came through the Showbox series and went on to have good careers, you know. Mm-hmm. And the thing about it, when you watch a quote unquote regular fight, you never know that person may end up being a great fighter. You know, look at it. He got exposed on network TV. He got exposed on free TV. So I think it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Like I said, you don't always have the best matchups and stuff like that, but nevertheless, it's boxing. And I'm coming from, you know, with my age, I grew up on Tuesday night fights back in the day.
Yeah.
I used to love watching that. Love watching Tuesday night fights. You didn't have no big stars on there, but you had good, solid fights. Yeah. Every time they had to air the show out. So free TV fights is good. It's good for everybody.
Yep, and that's the thing that, you know, a lot of people don't realize is that, I mean, free TV is basically good for the sport. I mean, it's, you know, basically, you know, having these guys that, you know, probably wouldn't have been known, because it's not that, you know, they're not always going to be going to Showtime to watch these fights. So you wouldn't, some of these people wouldn't know who Keith Thurman is or Sean Porter is or, you know, a Danny Garcia, unless, you know, they're in a pay-per-view card that had Floyd Mayweather in it or something like that. So you're not really going to have that opportunity getting yourself out there unless if you're on free TV. That's why I really liked how they put in that Porter versus Thurman fight at the time that they did, because it was the summertime. A lot of the families would be home. A lot of the sports boxing fans would be at home. There's no other major sports that you're competing with at the time. So that is when you would put that thing on TV. It's pretty much around that time. That was like at the end of the NBA basketball season. So after that, nothing else was basically left but baseball. So, boom. Put it there, you get a lot of viewers, and that ended up being a big success for them. You're not going to have that, you're not going to have that during this time. You're going to have to wait until after January or something like that in order to have anything close to it. So why put that much of a risk right now when you could just wait until after, football season winds down to have those type of events?
Yeah, pretty much Jim Lampley was saying that the PBC always hosts cards where they have mismatches, and they're doing fans a disservice because they always had these cards that people get blown out, and nobody want to see that on free TV.
Well, my thing is this. Either you see it on free TV or you're seeing it on HBO and Showtime, man. If you put it on HBO and Showtime, then you're going to have a lot of those subscribers basically drop their subscription. And once you have stuff like that happening, then you see what's happening here with HBO, where a lot of the boxing budget has been taken out over the past year and a half. And so that's why you have a lot of these fights that should have been on HBO World Championship Boxing end up on HBO pay-per-view. So it's just a matter of, how you look at these fights, how they're being presented, and, bringing them towards these networks and seeing if they're going to invest their slots to have these things on instead of having, like a movie on or an original show or something like that. So that's the thing that a lot of these promoters, think about when they try to put these fights together.
And so what better way to invest in a fighter and get payback on the back end when you do towards them, let's say like for a pay-per-view, than to put it on a platform where you get 3 million viewers. And then when you get the 3 million viewers and you build up a fight, preferably a fighter that knocks people out, or have great fights, action fights, like Keith Thurman or Sean Porter. And then when it's time to get your money back, that's when you do the pay-per-view and people have already seen them over a number of times and see that they are good fighters and stuff. And then you put that on pay-per-view, and then people would probably be more prone to buy and support them.
Well, it seems like they would want to try to get to that point. But I'm not sure if Haney is going to be ending up doing that. For example, there's been rumors out, that they want to have Danny Garcia fight, Keith Thurman in a unification match in 2017. However, there isn't, while Keith Thurman has had his, career, his fight there against Sean Porter, Danny Garcia really hasn't had that type of fight yet in the welterweight division. They were trying to see if he could fight Andre Berto, but that fight has fallen apart, and now he's over in PBC on Spike fighting some guy that, people hardly even know. And so you mean to tell me that he's going to have this fight, and then next year he's going to be going up here against Keith Thurman, where he could have had something at the Barclays against Andre Berto, win that fight, and then next year they would have a big fight, either on Showtime or Showtime pay-per-view, where it's basically for the number one spot in the welterweight division, and, have a couple of other very good fights there in, weight classes that are below or above that. Actually, one notch above that, you could have a unification fight between Arizona Lara and one of the Charlo brothers, and, you know, you would have a very good card that would be on Showtime pay-per-view. Now, those days of having, you know, million-dollar pay-per-view buys are done. There's only Canelo, there's only Pacquiao, Mayweather, and that's pretty much it. Canelo can't really do it on his own, because Canelo and Cotto didn't even reach 1 million pay-per-view buys. And so you really don't have that there anymore. So why do that on pay-per-view when you can have something on Showtime where a lot of people buy into it on Showtime? You know what I mean? So unless they have like a really large or somebody that transcends the sport of boxing that, you know, like a possibly an Adrian Broner, but Adrian Broner isn't somebody that you could have by himself that could sell a lot of pay-per-view buys, you know. So unless if he's like really, really, really good, and he really, really, really isn't, so you can't really do that.
Yeah, I mean, you always have to have like the wrestling themes, the wrestling stories behind him. Like, for example,
yeah,
him and Floyd talking shit. I mean, Floyd gonna sell a million, but him and Floyd talking crap to each other, so now they're enemies. Now they gotta fight each other. Or even
yeah,
so, him and Pacquiao, you know, like stuff like that. Him
yeah
and Canelo, you know, but it'd be some crap, you know, crap talking, and you know, it'll be a storyline behind it. That's how they sell his
mm-hmm
stuff.
Mm-hmm. But that's the only thing. I mean, if it isn't, you know, somebody that is like a Floyd Mayweather or a Adrian Broner, then you won't have that type of success on pay-per-view. And part of that is why I've been, you know, really disappointed in Adrian Broner and how he's been acting over the past year and a half. Because, no, he can't necessarily, you know, be as good as Floyd Mayweather, but he could be able to be lucrative enough to pull off a, I would say about $4 to $6 million per fight if he kept winning and stayed around that 100 to 147 pound division and fought, like, you know, fairly good fights within that weight class. Because he's the only one that's around that whole weight class that could, you know, bring in the supposed fans that don't necessarily follow boxing, you know, that don't necessarily watch those PBC on Spike, you know, Bounce TV things, or where Top Rank has theirs on, I forgot which network they had them on. Top Rank has their cards on another cable network, but you don't necessarily get those type of guys there, but you would get the mainstream folks, the folks that come in from D.C. that want to see Floyd Mayweather, that go into the D.C. Armory on April 1st or whatnot. Those type of people, that's who Adrian Broner brings to the sport of boxing. And that's what, you know, would make the sport more lucrative. But if he doesn't focus on just, you know, just being, you know, a mature person that's over 25 years old, then he won't necessarily have all of that at all, you know. And there's nothing that Floyd Mayweather or anybody else can do about it right now because, hey, he's feeling like he's his own dude. He's basically had his chances. So, I mean, if he's able to get back on his feet, that's good for him. But, I mean, right now I'm not really in favor of him actually doing that. So.
Yes, that's a great point you made by him, because he's definitely been a polarizing figure from the moment that he arrived on the scene, particularly with one of his first fights on HBO, when after the post fight he had his father brushing his hair, which seemed ludicrous.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, that's the spectacle of boxing. And like you said, James, the days of these million-dollar pay-per-view buys, it's long and gone, you know. So for that to happen, someone's going to need to be a polarizing figure, whether it be negative or positive,
whichever side you want it on, and come up through the ranks and not only talk to talk, but can fight and can bring, like I said, bring the type of fan that's not your everyday boxing fan into a rim to watch a fight. But, I mean, you look at the landscape now, who can do that? And really, it's not really I don't know. I really can't. And look at Ward, for example. At this point, he's a veteran in the game. But you know what? He's not an everyday household name. He's not. Should he be? He should be. With his resume, with the stuff that he's done, he should definitely be a household name at this point. You know, but I don't know if it's but it's not his style, because you can in a sense say that Mayweather and Ward has the same style. They box beautifully. They don't have a lot of power. They don't have a lot of knockouts. But nevertheless, they get the job done. You know, of course, we already know two different styles. But Mayweather was able to market himself into a pay-per-view monster. And who can even do that these days? And like I said, Canelo's going to be limited because he's a dance partner. And even then, from that point, the Mexican audience can only give him so much push on those numbers and everything. So whether you like him or not, he still has to embrace the fact that I think he needs to learn to speak English, because that would help out too for Canelo. But like I said, Broner, it's a shame. It's becoming more of a story of wasted talent. It really is. It's a shame.
Right. Yep.
All right. I don't know if this fight would do a million, but let's say if Madonna came back and they fought again, then that would get, you know, I think decent numbers because of the story behind it. That's the guy who set up Adrian Broner. Adrian Broner wanted his revenge, that type of thing. But that's not going to happen, though. So
that ain't going to happen, and I don't think that would get a big pay-per-view by itself. I mean, that original fight was on the regular network. And to have, like, pay-per-view buys, that would have to be, you know, something where it could not be Maidana's first fight back. He would have to be able to get in fighting shape and, you know, in one or two fights. They'd be able to fight Adrian Broner. And Adrian Broner would have to, you know, come into the ring and something like that and say something, like, real, you know, real bad, and then have you know, maybe not a push him in the face or something like that. You know what I mean? To try to build things up. You know what I mean?
The wrestling setup, like I said, you know, we got to go through the electric.
Yeah, push him in the face, man. I mean, you got to try to build the whole thing up, man. I mean, because if you think about it, Adrian Broner is a guy that easily is somebody that people can hate. Especially, you know, the way he talks and things like that, and, you know, how he, you know, in his last fight on April 1st, how he basically was, you know, commenting on spiking, basically cursing on Basic Cable. So, I mean, you know, while he's somebody that, you know, guys like us will be like, oh, but, you know, with other people, he just rubs people off the wrong way, so they don't really like him all too tough. So, you know, so on that note, you know, having a possible rematch between him and Marcos Maidana, it would take a while for it to build up, and then if it was going to be on pay-per-view, then it would have to be something to where Maidana would have to win a few fights and win a few key fights in order for that to be a very successful pay-per-view card. All right, we are here in the overtime section of the show. Just going through a couple more news and notes here within the sport of boxing. One of the things here that I'm looking at is coming with the month of December. We've had a lot of talk about what would happen with Anthony Joshua, the IBF heavyweight champion. And he had a date there in Manchester, England. Their reserve for him, and it was going to be on Showtime Sports.
they were thinking about having him first fight, I think it was Vermont Saverne, or even David Haye. But with the overall thing that happened there with Tyson Fury and him basically losing his titles there with the WBA and WBO, they're trying to see if they could put this fight together between Anthony Joshua and Vladimir Klitschko. There have been a couple of, you know, roadblocks in the fight. One of them, you know, basically being network issues, maybe, as Klitschko has fought on HBO for years and years and years and years. Also, with Vladimir Klitschko not even being listed in the IBF heavyweight ranks. And they're trying to see if they could put this fight together, but they're saying the roadblock is that they're trying to see if they could also have the vacated WBA championship put on the line for it. So they're waiting on the WBA to approve of it. But I'm not necessarily sure if that's going to happen, because right now, looking at these world boxing rankings in the WBA, while Tyson Fury was the WBA champ, the guy that is at number one is Luis Ortiz, having that other WBA interim heavyweight championship. So I wonder if, like, Ortiz would have something to say about it if they had a vacant WBA heavyweight championship put on the line here, if they had Klitschko going up against Joshua. Now, by far, Klitschko Joshua would be the most lucrative fight out there in the heavyweight division right now, and putting it on Showtime would really give a huge boost to Showtime pay-per-view, not Showtime pay-per-view, but the Showtime boxing, you know, moniker there. What are your thoughts about, like, Anthony Joshua's upcoming fight here on December 10th, and who could take that slot to fight Anthony Joshua? I'm going to start off with Terrell.
Well, I'm looking at the IBF rankings right now, and you got people like Joshua, as he's at the belt, we know that, Parker. And we thought that Parker was going to slide into that fight, this late-year fight with Joshua. It's not necessarily playing out like that with the collapse of Tyson Fury and everything, and we talked about that, which is a shame to himself and the boxing, and I'll leave it at that. But Parker, I looked at his last fight a few weeks ago on YouTube where he fought some big Russian guy that was like 6'6", 6'7", something like that, and he basically, I mean, destroyed the guy two rounds or something like that. Even in that fight, the Russian guy basically, he tried to feign, I think it was a low blow or something like that, and he tried to, like, get Parker disqualified. It didn't happen and everything. Anyways, aside from that, that's probably not going to happen with a Parker-Joshua. It would be interesting to see if we could get the fight between Joshua and Klitschko. That's something that we talked about Joshua earlier this year, and we were like, is he ready for prime time fights at this point? Like, would it be for, like, a Joshua Wilder or something like that? And we back then we said that he's not ready for stuff like that. But he in a sense, fell into a belt when he beat, I forget what's the kid's name, American kid, Henry, I think his name is, or something like that. He fell into a belt. He has a belt. Good for him. But it's interesting how, like you stated, that Klitschko is not even ranked in IBF. But is he, could he get a fight? And you already know, all these sanctioned organizations, they're always hungry for money. So they can willy-nilly and move this and move that and whatever, and here you got to fight. So it's possible. I mean, would I like to see it? Yeah, because the thing about it, because we were robbed of the Klitschko-Fury rematch, it's not even a whole lot of marketable heavyweight fights that we can see here in this time and age. But
yeah.
I would definitely like to see that fight. That would answer a lot of questions for Joshua and Klitschko. And actually, for me, a Joshua Klitschko fight, I got Klitschko. I do. Because the thing about it, even though he has an ugly style in a sense, and which just has it became more and more ugly as the, these last few years have came along. I don't, despite the fact that Klitschko has a history in the past of having a soft chin, and things, but I would favor Klitschko's fight. But I mean, and there's still, and despite lack of big names and stuff like that, the heavyweight division is very interesting because Joshua Parker, he this guy keeps on winning, and we know that what's our guy named Wilder? He's coming back relatively soon. So there's still some interest. I mean, I hope we get for a Bermain Stivern. What's the other Russian guy's name that Wilder was supposed to fight? Povetkin fight. I hope that comes up. Yeah, I hope we get that fight. But focusing on back on Joshua Klitschko, I hope that somehow they can make this fight because we can get some questions answered of Joshua more so. Answers sooner rather than later. So I would love to see that fight.
Yeah. All right, Mike Grady, what you got?
So I agree with Terrell in that if they wanted to make the fight happen, they could, you know. Like, yeah, he's not ranked in their rankings, but didn't somebody get ranked in the rankings that they weren't in there? Areola, didn't he get ranked in the rankings?
Probably, most likely. Either that, I think it was Areola that was done like that, yeah.
So they can do it. Like Terrell said, there's money. He paid him some money. Something happened. He can get in the rankings. If it doesn't happen, I don't know if this guy's in the rankings, but I heard somebody mention Bryant Jennings would be a good, you know, fill-in for this fight. But I'm not sure if he's in there.
I don't think he is in the IBF rankings there, Bryant Jennings. But
he's definitely not in the top 10, at least.
Nah, he's not in the IBF rankings. He's like in some, you know, occasions top 10 overall rankings. But in reference to the International Boxing Federation, he's not in their rankings right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, but if they do fight, I would, like I said, favor Klitschko if the fight goes 12, goes past 8. I would favor Klitschko. Otherwise, if it's like an amateur fight, something with the short round, of course, Joshua should win. With the early activity, I still think he get tired, so I think that's gonna kill him. And I don't know, the dude flat footed, man. Like, don't get me wrong, I like him. He got power. He beats who he's supposed to beat, but he just real like flat footed. And I know Deontay Wilder whoop his ass. That's what I do know.
Really? He had that in there. Yeah. All right. So check this out. So here's the thing here with Anthony Joshua. They were talking about him fighting Joseph Parker, but they were putting that originally they were putting that off until next year, 2017. And now Joseph Parker is running to this opportunity where he will fight for the vacant WBO. Heavyweight championship against Andy Ruiz. Joseph Parker is ranked there at number one. Andy Ruiz is there at number three. So he'll fight for the WBO title. So if he gets that and then still has his upcoming fight against Anthony Joshua next year, it won't necessarily be, of course, it won't be in January because they have that spot locked in for Anthony Joshua on December 10th. But it'll probably, you know, happen later on in 2017, probably by May or so. So you may have a title unification fight between Anthony Joshua and Joseph Parker there. So that's out. Looking at the rankings there, I see that the top two guys below them are Kubrat Pulev and David Haye. Pulev would be will probably be the more likely choice. I mean, he's had his last fight, split decision win against Chisora. He is 23-1. He did get knocked out by Vladimir Klitschko back in 2014. But he's somebody that's, you know, a tall guy that 6'4.5" that, you know, could be there. That'll be right in front of Anthony Joshua to fight. So I'm thinking that would be more of a likely thing to happen. With David Haye, what I've been hearing with him is that he's waiting on the winner of the Joseph Parker-Andy Ruiz fight, and they're saying that he may be next in line to fight the winner of that, which if that happens, I would be really upset because that means he playing out, flat-out ducked Shannon Briggs. You ducker, you fool, you made a promise to Shannon Briggs, he fought on your card, he knocked out the dude with a body shot, he said he would fight you, he went over to England to fight him, and then he go back out. That's straight up duck chicken punk move by David Haye. I'm saying it right now. Let's go, champ. All right. So now it looks like David Haye really is just looking for a more lucrative type of fight. So he's like putting himself on a back burner by waiting to see what happens here with Joseph Parker and Andy Ruiz. So as far as Anthony Joshua is concerned, if he doesn't get that fight there with Vladimir Klitschko in that Showtime slot, then he'll fight either Kubrat Pulev or I'm looking who else will be on here. Maybe Huey Fury down there at number 13. If you're going to be fighting Vermont Stiverns, Huey Fury is rated above Stiverns in the IBF ranking, so why not fight him? You know, so it would be an easy fight for him. But you would have, at least you would have with Huey Fury, you would have somebody else that's, you know, within the that's there within the UK that you know, he could fight. And if there is like a, you know, a fairly remote chance that Tyson Fury gets himself straight and gets back into the ring, then he'll probably, you know, do something to try to avenge Huey Fury if Huey and Joshua fight each other and Joshua beats Fury. So that would be something there to look at, you know, in the distant future. That's if Anthony Joshua ends up fighting Huey Fury here on December 10th. Other things that I've, you know, seen here in the news cycles, they just basically announced that Little Chavez is going to be back in the ring on December 12th, December 10th. Also, in Monterrey, Mexico. He'll be fighting Germany's Dominic Britsch, B-R-I-T-S-C-H, Britsch, in Monterrey, Mexico. They were trying to have it there for December 3rd, but the promotional company that's pushing the fight saw that Monterrey, Mexico was a better venue to have it at, and they headed open for the 10th. It's coming from BoxingScene.com. Via Rick Reno. And this will be at a catch weight of 169 pounds. So it's going to be a little bit above super middleweight. But Lil Chavez will be back there against Dominic Britsch. Britsch would have been somebody that Gilberto Ramirez would have fought back in July, but Ramirez couldn't make that because of a hand injury. So Britsch will instead be fighting Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. on December 10th. Just seeing what else is out here. Well, of course, I posted on one of the boxing groups on Facebook that Roy Jones Jr. is still not giving up fighting. He's going to see if he could fight, you know, another time. Don't know who he's going to end up fighting, but he says he's not retiring. And we do have that upcoming fight for Bernard Hopkins. That's going to be in Inglewood, California on HBO against Joe Smith. There'll be a light heavyweight fight. So you have Bernard Hopkins versus Joe Smith Jr. That's coming up as well. So just seeing what's your thoughts about those news tidbits there. I'll start with Terrell.
Yeah, it's kind of easy. With the Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. fight, this fight, like I said, had a catch weight of 169. You got to keep in mind the fact that Chavez's last two fights, the weight limit was above 170. So for this fight, easy. If you can get him in the ring, I'm there. I'm there to watch the fight, you know. But this guy, he's not on the wasted talent level of Broner, but I think you could kind of put their two careers together and, like, wow, these guys should be a lot bigger and better than what they are right now, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They've had some good fights and created some sensationalism within boxing. And actually, you probably can see these guys, their career arcs and stuff like that. It's about the same, up and then down, you know. So
yeah.
If you can get Chavez in the ring, hey, great. And being that this is at 169, that concerns me because we know he's had weight issues and a lot of fights and stuff like that with other things outside the ring, you know. So if we can get him in the ring,
yeah,
great. You know, so that's my main point for that. And in regards to Roy Jones Jr., say he's addicted to boxing, to me, that's a footnote at this point, and I don't think it merits much conversation at all. I really don't.
All right. What you got, Mike?
Well, I wouldn't say their careers parallel. Like, yeah, I get the message you're saying. Like, they both went up, and then they had the little down spike as far as, you know, all the anticipation behind how good they have been. But I think – talent-wise, Adrian Broner was a lot more talented than Chavez Jr., you know. And Chavez Jr. pretty much had his dad that people was like, you should have a pedigree. You should do well. You know, you fighting all these smaller people and you beating the smaller people, you should do well. Okay, Adrian Broner fought smaller people and did well too. So, yes, that even supports your point even more. But I think Adrian Broner could have competed a little bit more against Sean Porter if he threw more punches. He could have competed, you know, more against plenty of guys if he wasn't trying to emulate Floyd Mayweather and you know, do this whole whack defense, and he was just more offensive and stuff. And
mm-hmm.
Even with Maidana, I think Adrian Broner
right.
showed me something. He showed me something in that, and when he fought Maidana, that he still was trying to win. If it would have been a 15-round fight, I think Adrian Broner would have won the fight, or at least tied the fight. This is wishful thinking because it wouldn't have been the 15-round. I don't see that from Chavez. I saw Chavez pretty much quit at some point. Like, Chavez got a certain point to where he wasn't trying to win, you know. And, I mean, I think just his win make him be like, I don't care no more. I'm ready for the fight to be over. So I think that don't parallel with their careers. But I understand what you're saying, Terrell.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what the last one was.
Will Jones Jr.?
No comment.
We'll
put down on Roy Jones.
Yeah. All right. So on that note, here going up in the 9 o'clock hour on the Eastern Time, basically gonna close out the show here. We'll get back into it next week, same time, 7:30 Sundays. Here on the MRN Broadcasting Channel, be sure to catch our sister shows here. The Cold Hard Truth on Sports Tuesday nights at 8:30 p.m. with the execution of Matthew Long as host, and the CMT Firestone Football Talk Show with Cali Mike, Shottown, Crosstown Mathis, and Tony Watley on Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Like I say at the end of every show here, the point of boxing is to hit and not get hit, not to stand and trade. On that note, I'm out. Have a good evening.
Ooh.